Amen. Praise God. Thanks, Pastor Jason. I appreciate that very much. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm super glad that you're here. I heard that Pastor Wayne put it on Facebook that I was going to be speaking, and you showed up anyway. God have mercy on you. But no, I'm super glad that you're here and looking forward to what God has to say to us tonight in His Word. Amen? Read a story recently about an NBA coach. His name was Frank Layden. And he's the former coach of the Utah Jazz in the late 70s. And he had problems with one of his players. And so he asked the guy to come to his office. The player was super talented, but he was troubled. And so he invited him to come to his office. And he looked at the player in the eye. And the coach finally asked him, "My son, I can't understand it with you. Are you ignorant or are you apathetic?" And the player responded to him and said, "You know, coach, I don't know and I don't care." Some of you may get that on your way home. So many times we slip into this mindset that prayer is a passive position that should be assumed when we face trials, when we face struggles, where we require a miracle. And what happens is we allow the need to determine the size of our faith when we pray. And often it's not even on purpose. You know, we don't do it intentionally. But this apathetic attitude overtakes us, and we just simply fall and slip and drift into this coping mode with the circumstances of our life with little to no faith concerning God meeting that need. In James chapter 4, verse 2, James shares these simple words: "You do not have because you do not ask God." Let's be careful not to slide into coping mode. Amen? I've come out here tonight to remind you that there are some things that are worth fighting for. There are some things worth praying for. There are some things worth seeking God for in intercession. So we're going to look to Scripture at what God did in answering the prayers of one man, and then engage in our own personal prayer battle and expect God to do beyond what we can think or even imagine according to His promises. Amen? Amen? All right. Pastor Wayne has been teaching us through counterculture on Sunday mornings that our current spiritual climate is very similar to that of a man in the Old Testament named Daniel. He's just finished this series up on Sunday morning, and Pastor has drawn some parallels to how Daniel lived to how we should live today. And Daniel's response to circumstances can be summed up again in a simple passage of Scripture, actually in the New Testament, and it's in your outline there that you got when you came in. James chapter 5, verse 16, look at it. The Bible says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." At this time, we should really be desperate, the days that we're living in, for powerful and effective prayers. Our world needs it, amen? Our country definitely needs it. Our state needs it, our city needs it. God knows our church needs it. Our families need it. You and I need powerful and effective prayers. Now, if God's part is the power to answer the prayer, our part is to live righteous lives and to humbly seek Him in prayer. So let's look at what happened when Daniel lived right before God and prayed. So really, this is kind of a conclusion message to pastors closing on Sunday morning. So I'm glad that you're here tonight to catch this. Look at Daniel 10, verses 2 through 12. It's in your outline there. Let's look at it together. He says, "At that time," and we're talking about this time, which is, again, parallel. "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks, 21 days. He says, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." The first result of Daniel's prayer is number one in your outline. Take a look at it. The first result is that prayer provokes heaven to action. Now, Pastor Steve had no idea what my message was tonight, but we sang a song tonight about heaven touching earth and us getting caught in between or something like that. You remember that? And tonight what I'm talking about is a type of prayer that provokes heaven to action. Verse 12 that we read together from Daniel 10 says, "Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Friend, listen to me. The moment Daniel prayed, heaven went to action to meet the need. The Bible says, since the first day that you prayed, Daniel, the moment he called out to God, heaven responded. Now, look at this, because I think that this is a good lesson for you and me. Heaven moved the first day that Daniel prayed, but Daniel didn't see any change until 21 days later. Are you with me? Nothing changed visibly for Daniel when he prayed. Nothing happened, although the angel told him, "We heard the prayer, and I'm here in response." But that was 21 days later. The angel got held up, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But what do we do when we don't see the answer to our prayer right away? Or maybe things get visibly worse. You see, as you pray, you've got to know that in spite of what you see, heaven is moving. That's the lesson for us in this verse. I remember listening to a testimony one time of a family member who, this family had been praying and believing God for the salvation of this individual and their family. And they shared how that after 19 years of praying, that person finally came to Jesus Christ. But in those 19 years, they didn't see any evidence that God was working at all. However, suddenly, after 19 years, almost to the surprise of the rest of the family, the response came of this loved one, and they were radically transformed and even now passionately follow Jesus Christ. After 19 years. Friend, your prayer has been heard. Heaven is responding. You may not see it visibly yet, but don't stop praying because your prayer has moved heaven to action. Amen? The second result of our prayers is there in your outline. Take a look at it. Prayer unlocks information. So prayer not only provokes heaven to action, but prayer unlocks information. Daniel's prayer unlocked vital information in three specific areas of need. Check out your outline there. The first one is found in verse 10. First of all, it's the angel told Daniel, "You who are highly esteemed." You see, God's love and value of Daniel was communicated to him in response to his prayer. It is while you are praying that God will reveal to you how much he values you. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're highly esteemed." Now look back at him and say, "But I'm God's favorite." Isn't that what he says? The psalmist says that you're the apple of his eye. You're God's favorite. And we need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus, right? You see, if you know who you are, it will give you confidence in approaching God in prayer. You got to know who you are. This story really comes to light for me in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, it was just this past January we started reading the one-year Bible together. Many of you, hopefully, you're still doing that. If you're not caught up, hey, just jump right back in. Just jump right back in and don't quit. Keep doing it. All right? But I was reading the Gospel of Mark, and it showed up in chapter 16 of verse 7. It's in your outline there. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, and understand, these are the words of an angel to the Marys when they showed up at Jesus' tomb after he'd been resurrected. All right? So they show up at Jesus' tomb. He's been resurrected. There's an angel there. Look at what the angel says to the Marys. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. Now I want you to underline or circle there, and Peter. And Peter. Now we're talking about the words of an angel that let Daniel know that he was highly esteemed. Now I have a question for you. Right after Jesus' resurrection, who is the person on the face of the earth that needed to know more than anybody else that Jesus still loved him? This guy had just denied Christ 3 times. He had just cursed Jesus. Listen to me. And this angel shows up telling the Marys, hey, I want you to give the disciples this message because I'm going to meet them in Galilee. Oh, yeah, not just the disciples. And Peter. Think about that for just a second. And now look back at your neighbor and say, yeah, I'm his favorite. You see, if Jesus needed to speak just your name to let you know how valuable you are to him, he would have done it. That's exactly what he did right here in the Gospels. Tell the disciples and Peter. And that's what he did for Daniel in the midst of this prayer time and in the response to Daniel's prayer. You who are highly esteemed. It's when we pray that God reveals his heart to us, the Father's heart. You want to know how God feels about you? Talk to him and listen, and he'll speak to you. The second thing that is unlocked, the information that's giving and unlocked to us when we pray, is found in verse 13. He says, I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now, what the angel is letting Daniel know here is the nature of spiritual warfare. He says, heaven moved right when you prayed. But I got held up in the heavenlies getting to you by a demonic influence that he refers to as the king of Persia. So the delay was spiritual warfare. The delay was not a denial. And some of you may need to hear that tonight. That just because your answer hasn't come yet, God's not saying no. He's just saying not now. The delay is not a denial, so hang on to that. But it explains to us about spiritual warfare. We can't give up praying when the answer is delayed. Ephesians explains it better in chapter 6, verse 12. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Again, information that is unlocked when we pray. Here, the angel explains to Daniel about the nature of spiritual warfare. And then thirdly, in verse 14, information that is unlocked. Look at what the angel says to Daniel in verse 14. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While Daniel was praying, in response to his prayer, this angel shows up and tells him the future in the following verses of the Jewish nation. And he explained to Daniel and here in one of the most far-reaching prophecies in the Bible concerning the end times. And we read about that and what is to come as a result of Daniel's prayer. So information is unlocked when we pray. Prayer provokes heaven to action. And thirdly, listen to this, prayer invokes angelic help. Verse 11 says, the angel says to Daniel, for I have now been sent to you. In verse 12, he says, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. Friend, when you pray, God hears it and dispatches angels. It was prayer that immediately dispatched this angelic force to come and to help Daniel and his nation. Now, this angel didn't leave heaven playing the role of a precious moment statuette, if you know what I'm talking about. Are you with me? This wasn't a cute little angel hiding in the corner, scared of a shadow. This angel had a mission in mind. In Daniel 10, verse 20, The angel said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia." That word fight in the that's used there and translated in the Hebrew, that word literally means to consume, to devour, to overcome, and prevail. So he wasn't just going to show up to mess around a little bit. He was going to show up to win, to bring about the answer to the prayer that Daniel had prayed for. He was going to overcome the enemy. Friends, when we pray, there is an angelic force that is dispatched to help us. Amen? It reminds me of the story. It's illustrated in 2 Kings 6. Some of you may have remember reading this story. The prophet Elisha and his servant find themselves surrounded by their enemy. And the first report that comes from the servant to the prophet, it's pretty grim. He says, "We're surrounded on every side. There's no hope. Elisha, we might as well throw in the towel and give up." But the Bible says that Elisha sent him back out again to check out the situation. And on his way out, the Bible says that Elijah prayed for his servant's eyes to be open. And the Bible says that when the servant looked a little higher, some people in this room, in just a moment, you just need to look a little higher. When he looked a little higher, the Bible says that he saw the hosts of heaven, the armies of heaven, with chariots of fire, all surrounding them and the enemy. And when he got back to Elijah, he said, "Elisha, it's going to be okay because there's more for us than there are against us." Tonight, I believe with all my heart that if you'll pray, if you'll live like David lived and pray like David prayed, friend, you'll dispatch angels. They will help us. You see, Jesus is the commander in chief of the hosts of heaven. An angel army awaits to consume, to devour, to overcome, and to prevail in the battles if we'll just pray. Amen? Number four, and finally, prayer invites supernatural strength. Remember in this story, Daniel had no food or drink. We read that in these verses for 21 days. In verse 8, Daniel says, "I had no strength left." But in verse 19, the angel comes and look what he says. He says, "Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed." He said, "Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'" You see, part of the angel's ministry was to strengthen Daniel. And we see this over and over again in the scriptures. In fact, wasn't it an angel that came to Jesus after he had fasted and been tempted by the enemy in the wilderness and ministered to him so that he could go back out and do the word of the work of the Lord? Often when we face tough times, we confess we don't have enough strength to pray or to do anything else for that matter. You see, the weight of the burden brings us to the place like Daniel where we have no strength left. So you may be here tonight and there's no strength in you right now. But listen, the Bible teaches that you can receive supernatural strength tonight. You can receive supernatural strength as a result of prayer tonight, because prayer invites supernatural strength into our body and into our situation. Amen? I want to invite the worship team to come back. They're going to lead us in worship. As they're coming, I want to bring this thing to a close. Listen to me tonight. I believe that if we will live like Pastor's been teaching us to on Sunday mornings and pray like Daniel, we'll receive the results that Daniel received. I want you to think about this. When Daniel prayed, heaven moved. When Daniel prayed, it unlocked information that there was no other way that he could know. He learned the heart of the Father towards himself and others. He understood spiritual warfare. He saw the future for the nation of Israel. His prayers provoked angelic help. And finally, his prayers invited supernatural strength. And I believe tonight all four of those things can be ours as well. If we'll pray just exactly the way Daniel did, if we'll live a righteous life just like Daniel did, we'll receive these results in our lives. Daniel's prayer moved kings. Daniel's prayer moved nations. Daniel's prayer moved heaven and hell, literally. Tonight, what do you need? What do you need from God? Are you sitting in this room having already slipped into that apathetic mode of actually living in life's conditions that have been demonically inspired? Or are you here tonight and say, you know what, Pastor Tim? My family's worth fighting for. My son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my health, my church, that relationship, that friendship, whatever the situation may be, will you lift it up tonight and make it valuable enough to go to battle for? Will you say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to go after the Lord to answer this prayer. I'm going to passionately pursue God, and I'm going to expect Him to hear my cry and to respond. I'm going to expect to receive these answers tonight. I'm going to expect him to hear my cry and to respond and to change every situation. That's the power of prayer. Friend, we can have these results tonight. If you will rise up, if you'll get up out of that apathetic place, don't let that just being unintentional cause you to slide down into that place to where your lukewarm attitude towards that situation allows the demons to continue to have their way. Daniel decided, I am not going to bow down to any other idol. I'm not going to let anything else have its way in my life. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to call out to God. And the Bible says God heard his prayer. He dispatched angels. The angels showed up and began to minister. And life-changing power intervened in the midst of his situation. The next few moments that we have left, I want to pray with you. We want to invite God to come and just invade that situation. Will you help me tonight? Will you give that problem enough prayer tonight and enough time for God to hear your prayer and to intervene, to move heaven tonight, to unleash angelic help, to move forward in that situation and decide from this moment on, I'm not going to tolerate spiritual wickedness. I'm not going to tolerate powers of darkness invading my life and having their way. No, it's time I rise up. It's time I stand up. The Lord wants to give you supernatural strength tonight. Will you stand with me all over this place?